you know, the lyrics is "Let me love you, I've got a million ways." And I would love to know all of his ways. to clarify, I just feel like a million ways to love somebody is a lot of ways. Do you know what I mean? A million? We have a rare thing on today's episode of New Music We Love. A new artist who's preparing to release her debut single in 2020. She hails from Rochester, New York, and is a name that everyone will be talking about next year. It's Ronnie Watts.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. You know, whenever I'm reading like that introduction or any introduction when anybody's on this podcast or just like whenever I say someone's name to them, even if I've said their name a million times,
yeah,
I have like a sense of anxiety of what if I've got this wrong.
I really feel that. Yeah.
I've got a friend whereby I pronounce her surname wrong for about 8 months of like 2 hours, and she'd never said anything to me.
Oh no.
And like it's not even a slight wrong, it's like a really wrong. And when I found out, it was only when somebody else said her name wrong but turned out to be right, and I was here in my high horse saying, oh no, that's not actually how you pronounce her name. And she turned around and she was like, nope, they got it right.
Oh.
So your name is Ronnie Watts, isn't it?
Yes. And honestly, the same thing just happened with me. I've been friends with this girl for like 2 years, and she said like, come over, like I haven't seen you in a while, visit me in college. Her name is A-N-A. And I
Anna.
Still, Anna? Or is Anna?
No, it's Anna.
I feel like Anna would be A-N-N-A.
No, I feel like the amount of N's doesn't impact that. I don't think it's the N that's making the difference. No, it's Anna. Because it's, okay, Anna can be short for Anastasia, and Anastasia's only got one N.
That's true. But also, all the Annas are spelled
A-N-A. Yeah, but I think it's the Annas who have it wrong. So, anyway.
We'll go with that.
Yeah. So, you've literally just flown in from New York. You've been in London for like 12 hours.
Yes.
Baby London, Heathrow for a part of that time. Firstly, how was the flight?
It was a good flight. Really uneventful. Oh, I had my first legal drink.
Oh, of course.
I mean, my first drink ever because it's illegal.
Yes, of course. Yes. yeah. Wow. So that's an experience. As in, you had it on the flight.
Yeah. Like.
Oh, you're a type of person that drinks on a flight.
I just felt like I had to.
Yeah. No, fair enough.
You have the opportunity.
Yeah. So, were you on one of those airlines? We're not going to mention the airline where they give you alcohol for free on a flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I've traveled on the same airline recently. yeah. But my thing is, on a flight, it's a real sight to see. I get on a flight, I sit down, I'm asleep until we land. I can do that. Even to LA, which is 10 hours, I'm out. No medication.
You're so lucky.
No, like, I'll have a travel sickness tablet and like a little thing to eat before I get on. That's it. I'm not taking no pills or anything to do this. I'll sit down. I'm like a horse. I'm just sat there. You know how horses can sleep in any position?
Yeah.
That's me. I was at a rock concert at the Royal Albert Hall, so like loud. I fell asleep. I was third row of Stomp, which is the show where they like just smash trash cans for an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Fell asleep.
Oh,
like
my
I can
God.
Sleep anywhere. I've slept standing up on the train once.
You are so, very blessed. I don't know how that's possible.
I'm a horse. you've been to London before though, haven't you?
Yes, when I was 13, so 5 years ago.
Okay.
With the family.
What have you noticed there about being in London these 12 hours that you've been here?
Oof. Oh my God. Well, people are either very nice or very not.
Yeah.
It's like a very harsh in like extremes.
Worse than New York, do you think?
Yeah, I think
really?
So. I don't know. Like, I just feel comfortable with everyone in New York. Like, everyone just minds their own business.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a kind of in the middle. But with here, it's like the guy behind me paid for my bus ticket.
Okay.
And then the next second, like someone was getting really mad at me.
Oh,
and I was just asking a question. So I feel like it's both extremes, but honestly, I love it here, and I love English people.
Well,
so
there we
much.
Go.
So.
Yeah. you're on the right podcast here then. yeah, I think on the whole, people from London, not England necessarily, because I think this is a very London thing, are very moody. It's why I love this city. It fits my personality type perfectly. But I don't know. I always thought whenever I'm in New York, it because New York feels so much faster.
Yeah.
Like in London, I feel like you can stop in the middle of the street and people be annoyed, but you won't be run over. Whereas in New York, like if you stop, people will just tread on you.
Right.
So it's always felt more harsh in New York for me.
See, I felt like overwhelmed though. I think it's because I keep walking on the wrong side of the sidewalk though.
Yeah.
So then it's like people are coming at you. But that's right.
Then again, I walk on the wrong side as well. So anyway, we've got so much music to get through on today's episode of New Music We Love. Let's dive in.
Okay.
So first up, there's a new song from Frank Ocean. It actually came out last Saturday, but obviously we couldn't include it in last week's episode of New Music We Love because we record on a Friday. It's called In My Room. You're a much bigger Frank Ocean fan than me.
Yes.
Tell me about this song, what you like about it.
I think it's really cool. I think Frank Ocean like is his own genre.
Yes. Jesus Christ. We're 8 minutes in. Okay, so Frank Ocean's his own genre. The reason I get stuck with Frank Ocean, and this is not Frank Ocean's fault, this is my fault entirely, is that his songs are so complex.
Right.
That like it's not an easy listen.
Totally.
Not that I necessarily listen to music just for an easy listen, but like, I don't know, his music confuses me a bit.
Yeah.
So, but I guess you like that.
I mean, I totally appreciate it. And it's, yeah, I think it's really cool. And what he does is like not what anyone else is doing. And it's kind of refreshing, even though it is like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. The song's called In My Room as well. And he's one of those artists that just kind of drops a song.
Right.
Like, no.
Yeah, because he hasn't released anything in so long. I know people have been like, please release something for at least 2 years now.
Well, Blonde came out in 2016. It's like, because it was Reading Festival weekend, which is the last weekend of August 2016. I remember I was in a taxi talking about it. because that's when he released his visual album. And then like 2 days later, Blonde came out.
Right.
So it's been 3 years. Amazing. That's Frank Ocean. Next, and we're going to talk about this because you saw them live recently, the Chainsmokers. The new song's called Push My Luck. Now, this is a part of their new album called World War Joy, which a little bit like their last album, Memories Do Not Open, they've got quite an interesting release strategy for this, where they're releasing every track off the album as a single, and then like on, so for example, I've got Spotify in front of me now, it just like adds the track to the album. So, and then the artwork of the album is all of the track lists, but the ones that haven't been released yet scribbled out. And then they update the artwork each time with, I'll show you here, they like remove the scribble out so you can see what the song is.
Clever.
It's very clever.
Chainsmokers.
So what was it like? It's the Chainsmokers, 5 Seconds of Summer, and Lennon Seller touring.
Yes.
Tell me all about it.
Oh my gosh. It was really incredible. Just like, we weren't sure what to expect, but it ended up being so much fun. I mean, Lennon is like, amazing. She sounds exactly the same live as she does in her recorded songs. 5 Seconds of Summer was amazing. My middle school self was freaking out.
Yes.
And Chainsmokers were insane. They had like this huge like ball, and people, like there were motorcyclists in it, and then like people standing in the middle and like flames going everywhere. I'm what's going on? But yeah, they played their new song. And it was a bop.
I feel like the Chainsmokers are now at that stage though where firstly, like they now I feel like release music much more for live. Mm-hmm. Like their songs are much more tailored to that. But also I've seen pictures and some videos from this tour. They don't actually stand behind like DJ decks anymore, do they? They've got like a band.
Right. Yeah. They have like a couple, they have a drummer.
Yes. Who's name is Matt. I follow him on Instagram.
Yes, he's insane.
Yeah. And he drums with fire.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going
so
on?
So irresponsible.
It was pretty insane.
And it, obviously a massive lineup for a tour there as well.
Right.
I also like how the Chainsmokers have kind of shifted because they rose to fame in, you know, the DJ culture. Mm. But now like they're in a way not even DJs anymore because they are more like a band. And one of the members sings on some of the songs.
Yeah.
And it's much more of like a band than just like a DJ duo, which is how they came up.
Yeah, so. It's insane. He's like when he first performed live, like everyone was like, oh geez, but now he's really good at singing. Like they adapted and like Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, I remember, I think it maybe not his first, but definitely the first notable performance where he sang live was with Halsey.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, I mean, that performance was quite mind-blowing in a lot of ways. But yeah, I completely know what you're talking about. That's mm-hmm. the new Chainsmokers song, Push My Luck. We're going to go into some more music shortly. But I want to go back a little bit and talk more about you, because we've talked a lot about you being in London, but not actually about Ronnie Watts as an artist and a musician. Tell me, how did you get to this point? How did Ronnie Watts get to being sat in this room in London right now?
Ooh.
Let's start off with how you got into music and decide okay. if you wanted to pursue music as a career.
Well, honestly, it was like I've kind of just always wanted to do music. There wasn't any point or like, this is how it happened. It just was sort of like always what it was. My dad is a part-time musician, so I kind of just like grew up around that. And yeah, like I still have like my songbooks of all the things I wrote when I was a little kid that are disasters.
Yeah.
written in crayon, but like you have to start somewhere. So yeah, and when I got to middle school, I really wanted to start taking it seriously, because that's when I really got into songwriting. And I told my parents, and they were like, just prove it to us that you want to do it and we'll support you. And they still are. Like, I'm not in college. So.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Do you think it's easier or harder nowadays for like emerging artists to break into music compared to like the artists that when you were growing up you used to witness?
Right. I mean, I think it's a lot easier to get music out there and and say that you're a singer or musician or whatever, but I think it's way harder to actually make it.
Yeah.
Just because the pool is so much bigger now, like because you can get music out so easily.
Yeah.
There's like way more people out there.
Yes, that would be how it works. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting though, because I completely agree with what you've said, but also this, what they're calling it, like the democratization of music, has created a whole new class of musician that could never survive before.
Right.
Now there are, I think an example people use, although I'm not sure how relevant it is anymore, but they used to use Lauv as a big example. Because like, for an artist like him, who's a very talented, incredible artist who does really well on streaming, but he's, you know, the debate is he can't sell out arenas. He can kind of sell out somewhere in the middle. And that artist in the middle now can make a lot of money and can make a really decent living off of music. Whereas before, actually, maybe I feel like Lauv now has exceeded that and is now probably in a couple of years will be able to sell out arenas.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely this level, this class of musician that totally. Before, you know, if you after 5 years couldn't sell out an arena or, you know, weren't selling million copies every record, would get dropped by a label or, I don't know, the people would see it as going downhill. But now, because it's so much more accessible, because it's not just a situation of you need a label even,
right,
or, you know, record stores can only stock so many CDs or vinyl a week, there is a whole class of artists now that can make a living off of music that could have never done that before.
Yeah.
So I almost feel like making it, like, or breaking as a phrase, has changed a lot.
Totally.
Because now, like, I don't know, every artist sees it differently. I think some artists making it or breaking is selling out Madison Square Garden, which is a very, like, a worthwhile target, I'd yes. say. But to other people, it's just like being able to make a living off of music and not having to right. do anything else.
I also love the music where it's just the people in the middle, sort of.
Yeah.
I feel like it's in a new genre of music in itself, yeah. too. Like, yeah, I just like it a yeah. lot more than usually what the big...
Yeah,
people are doing.
I think you can hear when an artist is under pressure to do something.
Mm-hmm.
It comes through, like, everybody knows, okay, this sound now, physically, the production might be much bigger, perhaps because they're overcompensating, because
right.
they've been told that they have to make a massive second record, yeah. and that might mean something else to them. But there have been some artists, actually, like Tori Kelly, for her second album, decided to go to a completely different genre. She did gospel for the second one, to take the pressure off of it, so that technically her second pop album was her third album.
Yeah,
she'd won 2 Grammys off the second one, because in a different genre. I thought that was a very clever way to like manage it.
Totally.
So there we go, sharing our love of Tori Kelly there. In the introduction, I mentioned you're a brand new artist. Your debut single will be released next year. What things are you aware of though, and like, what are you thinking about ahead of releasing your debut single?
I really don't know. I mean, I'm hoping that people will vibe with it and like it. It's totally like, I wanted it to be as personal as possible and specific as possible and still have it hopefully relate to other people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was really inspired by Lana Del Rey.
Okay.
Cause she had just released her album when
Norman Rockwell.
I wrote it. So, yeah, there's total Lana vibes, West Coast vibes, like that sort of sad girl hours.
Yeah. Time. Have you ever been to the West Coast? Have you ever been to LA?
Yes.
Okay.
A couple times.
Yeah.
I'm such a New York girl though that I'm so like kind of rude about LA.
The thing is though, like, so I've been to LA 3 times now. First time I was like, I'm moving here, I'm gonna live here.
Yeah.
I love it. The second time the glimmer of it and the shine goes away.
Right.
And you're like, oh, actually, like, this city is amazing, but everything so far apart from each other, it's absolute, I was going to say controlled chaos. It's not, it's chaotic here.
Yeah.
More so, but I think it's a different way of thinking because I understand, I think people think that New York or London are chaotic and out of control, but I understand the chaos here.
Right.
And I think that's why I like New York so much, is because like, it's a chaos, but like, there's a sense of order. Like, I feel like there's, if you want to do something, there are steps to achieve it. And like, you know how everything works.
Exactly.
Whereas somewhere like LA, because it's so much more laid back and massive and everything sprawled over such a like larger amount of space, I just don't understand it. Like, I sit down and I'm like, if I moved here, how would you do your taxes? I feel like I could work out how to do taxes in New York. In LA, I'm sure it's the same system. I just wouldn't be able to get my head around it. And I know that's a very mature thought to be thinking before moving somewhere. But I don't know. To me, it is just absolutely chaotic.
Right.
Amazing. Well, we're going to go through some more music up next, but we'll be right back after this. Welcome back to New Music We Love. I feel like we should have a live audience for this
one. I know,
one,
really.
Because a little clap would have done really nicely there. So we are going to go through our section, 5 tracks in 100 seconds, where we talk about 5 songs in 100 seconds. So I'm going to throw some music into the circle, and then we'll talk about it, share our opinions.
Sick.
Sound like a plan?
Sounds good.
Brilliant. And the timer starts now. So first song is Kelsey Ballerini's new single Club. Hit me.
Yes, love it. I feel like it's a great, like, you could hear it in an arena.
Yeah,
it's just like one of those bangers.
Yeah, did you hit, get my joke? I said Club, hit me. As in, like, hit me with the club. All right. I'm a big fan of Kelsey Ballerini. This is her, I think, second single from the new album, which is coming out, I'm gonna guess, next year. It's called, the first one was called Homecoming Queen, but with a question mark, like, Homecoming Queen? And this is called Club. But yeah, big fans of Kelsey Ballerini here.
Yes.
And what I'm happy about is that she's finally fulfilling, like, her crossover potential. Like,
right.
I feel like she could be a massive pop star.
Uh-huh.
And with that, and obviously she did a collaboration with the Chainsmokers as well, I feel like we might be living that dream.
Yes.
The next one, Jordan Davis featuring Julia Michaels, Cool Anymore. It's like a pop country crossover.
Right.
I mean, Jordan Davis is a country artist, Julia Michaels is a pop artist, but audibly it is as well. You like the song?
Yeah, I do. And I like that Julia Michaels is doing, like, on a country song. It's kind of close.
Yeah.
I mean, she is the songwriter first, so.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, but yeah, it was cool.
Brilliant. We're running out of time very fast.
No.
Rosalia's got a new song, Arpele. I think I can't say any of her song names properly, but I think we discussed earlier, it sounds like a Rosalia song, not a Julia Michaels song. which means it's amazing. Glowy's got a new single, Unlovable. Glowy's Icelandic pop star, lives in London, is amazing.
Very
and
cool.
Noah Cyrus has got a new version of her single, July, out, featuring Leon Bridges, which we both love.
Amazing.
Amazing. There we go.
Oh my God. That got really stressful.
It gets so stressful because we get so comfortable because you're like, oh, I've got loads of time.
Right.
And suddenly you are summarizing Rosalia in 3 seconds. To go through them a bit, in a little bit more depth, let's talk about this Noah Cyrus song featuring Leon Bridges, July. Absolutely love this.
Oh my gosh, so good.
She released the song July a few months ago, but this is a new version of it. I feel like Noah Cyrus, like, has the potential to, if not be a global superstar, still be absolutely huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she's so underrated. as well.
Definitely.
I feel like a lot of people just look past her because of her surname.
Yeah.
But actually, like, the Cyruses, Miley included, are really, like, we forget, really talented musicians.
100%.
Miley Cyrus is a massive pop star.
Yes.
But also an amazing singer, songwriter, like, multi-instrumentalist. Like, there's real talent and skill mm-hmm. there in that family. Yeah. I feel like people look past that a lot.
No, I know. I honestly love them both. I think they're so talented and they're so real in interviews and in their songs. Like, yeah. they're just there. And yeah. I feel like that's what makes their songs so good, too.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a couple more songs to talk about until it's time's up on this podcast. First one, or the next one, is Meghan Trainor. She's done a collaboration and a co-write with Lennon Stella and Sasha Sloan, three of our favorite artists. I've actually not listened to Meghan Trainor in a really long time.
I know, it really has been a second.
Since yeah, but I feel like if she was trying to appeal, in, at least into your and my playlist, mm-hmm. putting Lennon Stella and Sasha Sloan.
Yeah, she did a good job with that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that was, congrats.
Good thinking.
Lennon Stella, who we spoke about very briefly earlier because she's touring with the Chainsmokers, and we spoke about a lot on last week's podcast because she had a new song out, Kissing Other People, is amazing. Sasha Sloan, though, also like a hugely talented songwriter.
Yes.
And every song she releases is so heartbreaking.
I know.
Like, she's so, like, I don't want to say she's so sad, but her music is so sad.
It's good. It's a good sad.
It's a good sad. You're right. It's like, she's always, here's the thing, in her song, she always seems heartbroken about something, but she's been in a relationship now for a couple of years.
Oh, I feel
like
really?
Her heart should be mended by now.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Wow. She's dating another really talented producer called King Henry. So, fun facts all around.
Interesting.
And then last but not least then, massive pop tune that's come out today, Harvey. And Harvey's always a bit of a guilty pleasure.
Yes.
But he's got a new song out called Million Ways, which is, I don't know, on the artwork, he's wearing a leather jacket. He's grown up a little bit. Like mm-hmm. I don't know. I've not seen the music video, but it feels like we're a few miles away from choreographed dances in school halls.
Right.
And now he's sat in a car with a leather jacket, you know, being like, you know, the lyrics is, let me love you, I've got a million ways. And I would love to know all of his ways. to clarify, I just feel like a million ways to love somebody is a lot of ways. Do you know what I mean? A million? I don't know a million ways to do anything.
That is so true.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you even know like five ways to love someone? Like,
yeah.
How does one go about that?
How does, yeah.
We need to ask.
I can't even go into double digits. You're right. So yeah, I feel like maybe Harvey's cheating a bit. Maybe he's got like things that are just like variations. One might be like buying you a heart-shaped chocolate box. Right. One might be buying you a square-shaped chocolate box. That's the only way I can do it. There we go though. That is all of the new music for this week. Wow.
Wow.
Before we go though, I've got two more questions.
Okay.
For you. The first one, I want to briefly talk about your single Roses, which came out last year, just over a year ago. Mm-hmm. You self-released that song. It's got a bit of success. It's won a couple of awards.
Yes.
Tell us all about the song, what it's about, and some of the success that it's seen.
I love Roses so much. Yeah. Just because it was such an empowering song for me to write. Basically, the story behind it is, I was talking to someone, he cheated on me. And
wait, whilst you were talking to him?
Yes. The entire time we were together, he was with someone else.
Okay, wait. I'm trying to work this out. I'm going to assume that the other thing started before he was with you.
Yes.
So it's not like he entered two relationships in one day.
It was pretty close.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
God.
Yes, we love that.
I can't even commit to one relationship.
No, I know, like that. I was like,
skill.
You should be like exhausted right now. Anyway, so the song that we kind of bonded over was this song that he wrote called Roses.
Yeah.
Different song. Unfortunately, it's still like a really good song. I think it's annoying. But yeah, so that's what inspired me to write my Roses. Which is just an FU song, basically.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And it won best song in Western New York.
Okay. I mean, that's Western New York's a very big area.
It is a big area, and lots of music there. So it was really cool. I was not expecting that
whatsoever. That's an even bigger FU to him.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, thank you very much, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. Well, we end off the podcast every week with the final question,
okay,
which is something based on the music that we've been talking about today. Because we've got music on here, including songs Glowy, Unlovable, there's that Jordan Davis song, Cool Anymore. I want to, and Harvey talks about how he's got a million ways to love someone. Mm-hmm. So my question is for you. If you had to title a song based on your favorite trait about yourself, what would the song title be?
What?
Wait, no. Okay, last week, right? Last week's final question was, if you had to write a breakup song about the end of your relationship with your favorite celebrity, what would the song be? The favorite celebrity was Rihanna, and we came up with Bad Girl Breakup.
Ooh.
Which is, and I came up with that name on the spot.
That's good.
We had Gracie on it, who's like a professional songwriter.
Right.
And I beat her to it. So let's try.
You're probably going to beat me to it too.
So if you had to title a song based on your favorite trait about yourself, what would the song be called?
Well, this is extra hard because I have to think of my favorite trait about myself too.
I didn't really open the door to that one. The trait itself can be something simple if you don't want to go into how much you love yourself on this podcast.
I guess I'm nice.
So a title of a song based on the word nice. We could do, so obviously right now I'm thinking Nice to Meet You, which is Niall Horan. That's taken.
Right.
And then the other thing I'm thinking of, which I'm sure is already a song title, but let's look it up. But only because it contrasts with nice, would be Naughty and Nice.
Yes, I was thinking something like that.
Which actually isn't a number one single yet. No, there's no massive song that I can find on here called Naughty and Nice.
It's sort of like, gives me Christmas vibes a little bit.
Yeah, because of Santa. Merry Christmas. Thank you so much, Ronnie.
Thank you.